programs, the following communities will receive first priority: those who continue to be denied free and open access to the broadcast media, and those who suffer oppression or exploitation based upon class, race, sex, age, creed, disability, sexual orientation, or immigrant status.
Opinions expressed on WRFG do not necessarily represent the opinions of Radio Free Georgia Broadcasting Foundation, Inc., staff, or volunteers. And you are listening to Alternative Perspectives, the weekly program about the GLBTQI community. Produced by Betty Cuvitier, Alternative Perspectives is about the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer-questioning, and intersex community, informing about the issues that affect us and our allies, and the common humanity that connects us all. And I am your host, Betty.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you. In the Declaration of Independence, it is written, all men are created equal. No matter how hard you try, you can never erase those words.
From the movie Milk, and let us not forget those important words, 2009.
People speak. Matt Damon performs the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The history we hear, it's all based on who's telling the story. It's always going to be from somebody's point of view. You have to think about who's telling you and why. You can't just accept what you read or what you're told. A more perfect union will not just happen. You don't just accept the way the world is. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Being patriotic meant engaging and participating. You know, I never understood the kind of love it or leave it thing that you hear people say when they get fed up with protesters in the street. You know, they say love it or leave it, and I think that is anathema to the idea of the country. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. But the point of the country is that we're allowed to speak, and that we're allowed to struggle to make it better. And that means different things for different people. So there's going to be a constant state of tension, and that's okay, because we're all trying to make the country better.
For more of The People Speak, go to history.com/peoplespeak.
Alrighty. As many of you out there know, that The People Speak was aired on the History Channel on Sunday night. And that was on Sunday night. I was able to get some some audio off of that, and that was it, you know. So it's like, you know, when do we, you know, it's plain and clear what the Declaration of Independence says and what the intentions were way back when. And that when there's a series of things that affect us in the negative, that we have options. We have options. And one of those options is to do away with what's doing us wrong. Okay? And, I mean, we can just look at every issue, you know, down the line. Never mind GLBT issues. I mean, we just get thrown under the bus all the time because they can't make up their minds and they have to tweet things and they have to, you know... Yeah, figure out where we fit in. Well, they collect our taxes. You know, they don't ask us what we are when they take our taxes. Okay, they want our vote. They come to us and they ask us to vote for them.
Yep.
You know, when it's necessary, when they know that we can make the difference, you know. So going beyond the GLBTQI community, you go to the regular, you know, heterosexual community, and you're being thrown on the bus too when it comes to health care and other things that out here that, you know, what is the problem? Why can't they make up their mind? You know, what is it that, you know, one guy can stop the whole show?
Yeah, like you talking about Lieberman?
Yeah, you know, Lieberman has done more stuff to the Democratic Party than the law allows, and they still forgive him.
Yeah.
You know? he spoke at the Republican convention as a Democrat.
I know. Well, he claims to be an independent
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think when our country was founded, I mean, imagine being in the position that those men, and it, you know, it was the men at that time mm-hmm, that had mm-hmm. the say, because
mm-hmm. the women were home cooking. They were making the butter.
Yeah. Meals on the table for their men.
They were churning that butter.
But I think they did a pretty darn good job of trying to anticipate
yes.
what we would want as a free country.
But they had to ask themselves the question is, why did they come here? Why did the original folks come here from England and all that?
Well,
escape what?
They were escaping oppression of various kinds. And, mm-hmm. it, you know, I mean, this has always been my argument when people want to start talking about, you know, fencing in our country and closing our borders and whatnot. We were founded by immigrants who were escaping oppression of various kinds, mm-hmm. you know. That had their own wealth to fall back on, but that was the founding of our country. And unfortunately, we also did our fair share of displacing the Native Americans that were here before, you know, our forefathers came to this country. So, you know, this country wasn't discovered. It was always here. It was just, it happened not to not be on their radar screen at the time.
But, right.
And there but were it
people,
was always here.
And there were people living here
that right. called this place home. And, that embraced these people who came and looked very different from them and acted very different from them. And
we have to ask ourselves, what are the intentions of our current politicians? Because where are those original settlers now?
Yeah.
Where are they?
They're stuck on reservations, you know.
Yeah.
In these
so we have to ask.
Contained
you know?
Areas right. where, you know, they're just, I mean, there's very... It's a very bad way of life for them. Very high incidence of things like
yes.
alcoholism.
And unless they find casinos,
right?
They live poorly.
Well, we've taken their dignity away from them. I mean, mm-hmm. that is just absolutely the worst thing that you can do to an individual. Mm-hmm. not only to make them poor and to stick them in, you know, concentrated living, but to take away their dignity. I mean, that's an unspeakable crime, in my opinion.
Yep. But we have Becky is on the line. Becky, you want to say anything?
Well, I just catching the tail end of. Hey, Donna, how are you?
I'm good, Becky. Hey. I missed you.
Yeah, I miss being down there. I take it that y'all have been talking about the indignity that was imposed upon Native Americans when our country was founded.
We were mentioning that from the. I was asking questions. We were talking about, you know, our politicians and, you know, what they do. You know, I played, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, I played the Matt Damon thing on the People Speak from the History Channel.
Oh, and the U.S. Constitution?
And he did the Declaration of Independence stuff, you know, and I had, previous to that, I had played, you know, Harvey Milk, because
right.
He had also said that back in, what, 1977 or something like that?
It was actually a very good new intro. I like it very much.
Yeah, good. Good. I'm glad. Thank you.
And
they, you know, we're talking about the same thing. I mean, you and I talked about this earlier on the phone when I was still at home.
Yeah.
Becky.
Yep.
And you know, Harvey Milk said this way back down, you know, 1977 or something like that. And here we are in, you know, ending 2009. You know, it's how many years? You know. And are still asking the same questions about, you know, this country and stuff, and what rights do we have? You know, how do we correct things that, you know, we don't agree with? You know, because it seems that everything is just going downhill, and we do have options, as I said earlier.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like our politicians or our elected officials really have our best interest at heart. Okay, it seems like they have their own interest at heart.
Yeah. Well, you know, when it comes to the healthcare now, they're having all these issues about trying to figure out how they're going to give us healthcare so that the majority, supposedly, of the folks in these United States of America are protected. Now, they ain't concerned about their healthcare because they got it. Okay.
Yeah, they got theirs.
Yeah, they got theirs, all right? But, you know, they're more concerned about the pharmaceuticals and the insurance companies and, you know, all the lobbying that gets done with these folks and all the money that gets, you know, transferred back and forth and so forth and so on. I mean, they're just concerned about all of those little things and how everything is going to fit in comfortably, not for us, the people, okay, but for those corporations and for the pharmaceuticals and for those, you know, insurance companies and, you know, where the money is, you know,
and their donors.
And their donors. So what are we, the people, the objective of the whole thing about the Declaration of Independence is it states in there that when you are not pleased with the governing body, that you have options.
Yes, you do.
You know,
yes,
you that do. You can, you know, in you can vote them out. That doesn't seem to be working because it seems like they've rigged up those voting machines and stuff so they can just, you know, make believe you have an election, but, you know, you never know for sure.
Exactly, because there's no paper trail.
Right, you never know for sure. Okay, so, yeah. And so what other means do we have, okay, besides voting them in and out?
And the sources of information that the average American voter obtains comes through a machine that's open, that is owned by corporate media.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they got us coming and going, you know what I mean?
I know.
They just got us coming and going. It's like, okay, you know, we can talk till we turn blue, you know, here. We can talk and say, folks, you know, these are the things that we have to do. You know, these are the things that, you know, we have to face up to. We have to take responsibility. We have to commit. We have to do this. We have to do that. Okay, but at the end, you know, we wind up, you know, people, you know, run for office. They campaign. They tell you all these things. You think that they're answering your needs. And they're not really. They're just sort of kind of just placating, you know, they're just sort of saying, okay, listen, we're going to take care of this, okay? But in the meantime, though, when you go to vote for me.
Yeah, trust
okay?
me.
Trust me. Trust me. Please, okay? But we have to figure out, you know, our forefathers, they did give us options. And we really have to read that Declaration of Independence and figure out what those options are, okay? Because we would be within our rights to do, because it says so right there in the Declaration of Independence.
Indeed.
It says so. I mean, you know, it's like, folks, you got to wake up.
You got to get involved. You can't just, rock along with what's going on.
Yeah, you got to, you know. But we are excited this week that we're going to have... And Nancy, her first name is Nancy, is N.E. Francis, is her writing name, because she writes for the Examiner.com out there in California. And she's from Sacramento, but she's going to be joining the team, and she'll be calling in a little bit. And
she's a straight ally.
And she is a straight ally. I've interviewed her here in the past, and... she wrote 30 GLBT stories in June, when June was declared to be Pride Month by the President of the United States of America.
And but not here in Atlanta. Oops.
Oops. But, you know, we could be a little sarcastic at times here with stuff, you know, because, you know, we're trying to get a point across. You know, sometimes you have to do it with humor, sometimes you have to do it with passion and emotion, and sometimes you just have to just talk it, you know, and dialogue and communicate, and then just try to yell it out, you know, and, you know, try to interconnect things so that the message gets across, you know. Purposely, you know, doing Harvey Milk from way back when, and doing Matt Damien, that was just broadcast on Sunday, doing that together. It's making a point. It's that we've been talking about the same thing for how many years?
Well, you know, I thought it was pretty interesting. I read that in Houston, in Texas, and, you know, I have my own issues with the state of Texas for a variety of reasons, but that they've elected an openly gay mayor.
An openly gay mayor. Yes,
a lesbian.
Yes, lesbian. Yes, yes, yes.
And Donna, this is the fourth largest city in America.
I know.
That's wonderful.
That's really,
and DC,
really a huge accomplishment.
And D.C. Voted in marriage today. There's got a couple more hurdles to go in, but the city council... okayed it.
Really?
11-2.
Yeah, 11-2. Yes, yes, yes.
So I mean, let's not discount the fact that we are making strides.
Oh, we're making strides.
Sometimes it feels like 2 steps forward and 10 steps
and
backwards.
Yes, yes.
But we are making incremental, though they may be, strides.
Right, but what I don't understand is what is behind stalling ENDA, number one.
Right.
Okay, it's workplace, you know, human rights for sexual orientation and gender identity. I mean, you know, what is the problem?
Well,
they've been fighting for this
obviously
since 1974.
Congress can't multitask. I mean, all they can concentrate on is the freaking health bill that they've made a mess of.
They can't concentrate on that either, because one day they say this, the
and
next
then
day
they're
they say
whining
that.
Because, gosh, they've had to work so hard.
Oh,
boo hoo hoo.
You know? You know, but first it was, you know, they had the single payer option stuff that went out the window. Okay, then you had the
public option.
That went down the toilet a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Then they went, that went down the toilet because they told the people that were going to give them Medicare at 55.
I know, I started to get excited about that.
I read an article today. Now, what kind of benefit is it if you're 55, you select Medicare? And it's going to cost you $600 a month for it.
Oh.
What? What? Tell me what.
Never mind.
Never mind. What?
Oh, ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous.
What? I mean, what kind of sense is that? I mean, these are the guys that we, you know, put there.
Well, but it doesn't matter because that one's out the window now, too.
Yeah,
thank you, Joe Lieberman.
Joe Lieberman, that went out the window because he said he wasn't going to. He was the 16th vote that they need to get the stuff passed because that was the agreement they made. Now, normally it would be only 51.
Mm-hmm.
But they made an agreement before they started all the stuff that they would do. With 60 votes, that they would need 60 votes to pass whatever with healthcare.
Wow.
That was a decision they made. But normally, this kind of stuff would pass with 51.
Well, right. I guess they thought, you know, healthcare was going to be a slam dunk.
A slam dunk.
I mean, come on, let's get real. What has been a slam dunk?
I can't recall a slam dunk since what? 9 years?
easily.
It may be longer.
So, I mean, you know, military spending seems to get a lot of support, but other than that,
defense appropriations, which is how the hate crimes bill got passed, being attached to a defense appropriation.
I know, I love that. I mean, let's get back and do it like the other people do it and get it done.
Yeah,
that was kind of fun.
Let's attach the hate crimes bill.
Attach the defense. Yeah, attach to the defense bill.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it seems sneaky, but hey, that's the way stuff gets done. So when it works in our favor, you know, hey, I'm all for it.
Why not? You know, yeah. But you have to ask yourself. I mean, what is it that's so difficult? I mean, there's a need, and they know that there's a need. Yeah, you know, there are solutions. Okay, and so I mean, if it benefits the people. You know, this is the way. If it benefits the people, what is the problem with you? Is it taking away money from somebody that you know?
Well,
you know, is it taking money out of your pocket? Is it taking money? You know, what is it?
It's, am I going to get reelected? That's what it boils down to. Am I going to get reelected? Not
but
with the people.
And that part I don't understand.
Reelected? Yeah.
The majority of people in the United States, according to whatever, you know, the studies and the surveys that I've read and stuff, are in favor of some kind of health care reform.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So what is the problem with the politicians if the majority of Americans say, okay, go ahead and do it?
Right.
What is the problem?
Right.
Who's going to get gypped?
Well, you know,
my whole thing is that I think somebody along the line there that is on their money list is going to get gypped and get taken out of the game. And that's what they're trying to avoid because they won't have money to run a campaign.
Well, and then you have to wonder, and my partner and I were talking about this today, you know, if in fact you can get health care even if you have pre-existing conditions, what's it going to cost you? You know, I mean, is it going to be some kind of astronomical fee? Because then really and truly you might as well not have that either,
right?
If you can't afford
I mean
that's as crazy as $600 a month for Medicare.
Yeah, Medicare, that's, I just read it today. It says what kind of benefit is that if it's going to cost you $600 a month to have Medicare at the age of 55?
And then you add in the cost for your pharmaceuticals. I mean, look, my late mother paid nearly $500 a month in drug bills because she was diabetic, heart condition, all of. I mean, it was almost $500 a month.
Yeah, I talked to my mom today, and my dad is having some issues. And anyhow, she was starting to complain because, you know, with healthcare the way it is, he's limited to the number of doctor's visits he can have. It is ridiculous that in the richest country in the world that we cannot take proper care of our folks, of our people, and give everybody good health care. And I mean everybody from the day that you're born until the day that, you know, they put you back in the ground. So anyhow, I was talking about the fact that, you know, if we're going to have public health care and we're not going to be able to have a public option for health care, but if we're going to have an option that allows us to not be penalized because of a pre-existing condition, as long as we're still able to afford insurance, you know, then I think that'll be a good thing. But, you know, only time's going to tell on that. I know they're trying to push it through, trying to get Congress to pass this thing before everybody takes off for the holiday recess. And, you know, hopefully something will happen. But I must admit that at least over a month ago, I kind of lost interest in the whole process because it just continued to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. And I just, you know, my question to the whole Congress is, who you think you're going to leave out?
Yeah, I don't think that.
I mean, that's what I want to know. In their minds, if they make some kind of an agreement on something, you know, and what is preventing them from providing for the people, you know, for we the people, for us, okay? What is it? Where, you know, who you think you're leaving out? And why can't you make that decision? I mean, it's, like I said, I go to the money thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I go to the money thing too.
I go to the money, and it's, you know, who you think is you're leaving out.
Well, who's expendable? You know, I mean, they've already brought up some instances where, you know, women wanting to have abortions. Well, that's
what they try to put into the thing of
take
that.
Care of.
Yeah, well, that's
you know,
something
then
they don't want to have included.
Yeah,
in whatever health care
conveniently reform. Come out with this bogus report saying you don't need mammograms until you're 50 some odd years old. I mean, okay, so let's just talk about women. Let's just take women right out. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean,
Yeah, they tried, but I mean, we came back. The people came back.
Mm-hmm.
We you know, very strong when it came to that mm-hmm. abortion issue, and you know, they came back strong on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to drop it, I think.
No, there's I forget what his name is, but he's still trying to keep it alive.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's really paying too much attention
to
it.
Not.
You know, I don't know. Maybe
you're talking about Tupac.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
But they keep everything undercover until the moment they make a vote or something,
right.
And all of a sudden all this stuff is there.
You know?
And the people never knew about it or something like that. But
you got to wonder. I mean, Obama called everybody together into a session today, and you know. I mean, what went down in that room?
Would you like to be a fly on the wall?
On the wall.
Yeah.
What went on with the banks yesterday?
Yeah.
and Wells Fargo comes out saying they're paying back their loan.
They hadn't
paid theirs. Citibank has said they're paying back theirs, but they haven't paid it back yet. The other banks have paid it back, and Wells Fargo was the only one listed yesterday that had not made any offers yet, you know. And they came out of that meeting saying, you're getting it back. So what was said there?
Well, you know, they want to be able to pay people these ridiculous amounts of money per year and give them the golden parachutes when they screw up and, you know, get to leave the company, and they want to be able to still do that, and they can't do that if they're getting government money, so they're going to give up their government money so they can do things the way they want to do. And in the meantime, you and I are paying for that, because we're not saving any money anywhere.
No,
it's getting harder and harder to be able to get any kind of loans.
Right.
And
that's the problem. Yeah, that was the problem. That was what he supposedly had the meeting with them, because they were not giving back.
They were not giving back that money.
The small businesses need money, and they were not giving it back. But anyway, we have N.E. Francis on the line with us. And N.E. Francis is a writer for The Examiner. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. And she is the journalist who had done 30 GLBT stories back in June, when June was declared Pride Month. And Nancy, it's okay if I call you Nancy on the air?
Yes.
Okay. And I just lost my train of thought just quickly, right? That's ridiculous. But anyway, in the 30 stories, when GLBT was declared, June was declared GLBT month by President Obama. And I'll get my thought back, and I'll say what I was going to say. But you have joined the team for Alternative Perspectives.
Welcome.
Yes.
Yay, Nancy.
Yes. Welcome. Yeah, I am so happy. I am so happy to have you on board, and that you will be contributing articles and information and resources and all kinds of good stuff from the entertainment world, which is what your specialty is.
Yes.
And go ahead.
I focus on arts and entertainment, but I also, I've developed a network of very important LGBT people and community services, like the LA Gay and Lesbian Center.
Very good.
They actually sent me a press release just a couple of days ago that, for the first time in U.S. history, an openly gay Latino man has been elected to the California Assembly.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you talking about John Perez?
Yes.
The Speaker John of Perez. The California Assembly.
Yes.
Oh, I know. That's another mark in our column.
Yeah, another victory. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're getting the victories. We were talking about the victories and stuff a little while ago, and that we are making progress, but, you know, as a GLBT, in, you know, overall, we can't seem to get things like ENDA passed. You know, we can't get same-sex marriage in all the states. You know, we can't get the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We can't get DOMA repealed. We can't, you know, there's all of these things that are hanging over us, okay? But it's great news to know that we are getting people in those areas that can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think if we expect the politicians to do the right thing, it's going to be a long, long wait. This is why I have dedicated as many stories that come my way for the LGBT community, because I believe change will come when LGBT stories are mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And when people say, oh yeah, I have more than just a cousin that I know, this guy, I have a best friend, I have, you know, a sister or a brother, when the stories become inclusive.
Inclusive. Mm-hmm. When we're part of the general conversation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love what I'm doing. There's been a little bit of criticism, but it's been behind the scenes, and I don't really pay much attention to it because I know that what I'm doing is changing lives and perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what matters. And in fact, I have two great stories that I wanted to share.
Okay.
With you guys. One, there is a, I don't know if your audience is familiar with Dottie's Magic Pockets. It's the first children's program that was created for children that have two moms, two dads, or one of each.
Hmm.
And I did a story about it back in June. And they have now come out with their first CD. And it's called The Super Secret Seashell Cove. And kids love Dottie. She's been on the Our Family cruises, and she makes various appearances. And my daughter is crazy. She loves Dottie.
Really?
So this is good news. This is the first children's show of its kind for LGBT families.
Wow.
Where they feel included. They're part of the storyline.
Wow.
I have never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I mean, what is it on, like, cable or something like that, or is it?
No, you can order the DVD.
Oh, the DVD.
Or the
okay.
Dottie'sMagicPockets.com.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I'm telling you, if you have children or grandchildren, they will love Dottie. My daughter likes
crazy. Repeat that website again.
It's Dottie'sMagicPockets.com.
Huh. And Dottie's is Dottie's?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm writing as fast as I can.
Dottie'sPocket.com.
Dottie's
Magic.
Magic Pockets. And on the website, they'll have clips of the video. They'll mm-hmm. have clips of the songs. So you'll get to see and hear it, you know, before you buy it. And it really is wonderful.
Wow, that sounds great.
And so they have a new CD coming out, Nancy?
Yes. It's coming out on the 18th, but it's available for pre-order right now, and it'll be shipped out on the 18th.
Mm.
And it's called the Super Secret Seashell Cove. It's really nice.
That is really, that's educational.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great because it's those kind of things that are going to put us in that mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
When those DVDs are being played in straight households and their children are watching it, you know, and a child having two moms and two dads becomes, you know, a regular kind of, you know, mainstream thing, you know.
Exactly. And when my daughter watches it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And to her, it's not even an issue that there's two moms or there's two dads in the story. She's never once said, well, Mom, why is that? Because I think it's a non-issue.
Right.
I think When children are taught, that's bad.
Children have to
learn that kind of prejudice.
Yeah, they don't come by it naturally.
You know,
I raised two daughters, and we never encountered any kind of backlash regarding the fact that, you know, we were two moms mm-hmm. raising, you know, two children, and we lived in a household together, and everybody knew that we were you know, homosexual, we were lesbians,
mm-hmm.
okay, and it wasn't a secret,
mm-hmm.
and there was never any backlash, you know, because those people that, you know, we spoke to and knew, and our kids played with their kids and stuff like that, it was, you know, very commonplace, you know. I mean, we were the only gay folks on the block, but, I mean, you know.
Well, that you knew about anyway.
Yeah, that I knew about, but it's you know, people, kids especially, you know, they don't react to those kind of things, you know. We've put it out there in a negative way, where the media has, and just the things that have happened in the last few years and stuff, and that has gotten, you know, the press itself has put out those images where the kids now, you know, are suffering from it, that's, you know, producing the bullying and stuff in the schools because of what it has been, you know, how it's been depicted in the media. Yeah, so it's good to know that there's these other alternatives, mm-hmm. you know, to educate children in this way of normalizing, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
for them, the households.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. That's very good. So what else you got for us?
Well, I wanted to tell you about Carolyn Gage and her work. It's called The Second Coming of Joan of Arc in Selected Plays. It was the national winner 2009 the Lambda Literary Award in Drama this year.
Wow. These are the things that I miss out because I'm so political. I always keep my eye on the political stuff, and I forget to look at the entertainment sections of anything that I'm reading.
Which can also put across a political message in a more palatable way.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's wonderful. I think this is just so great. And I am so happy that you're with us and that you're going to be supplying these kind of things for us because it just gives us that whole new perspective. Okay.
Oh, well, Carolyn Gage, I interviewed her back in June for my series that you spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her interview probably affected me the most powerfully. As a woman, I've always been a feminist, and her work has really changed my perspective on women's issues and more specifically lesbian issues. What she has done is she specializes in writing about non-traditional roles for women, and she especially writes about reclaiming the famous lesbians in history whose stories have been distorted or erased from history. And that's why her work is so powerful. And anyone can go to her website to order her books, her plays, carolyngage.com.
Can you spell her last name?
Her last name is G-A-G-E.
Okay, Gage. I couldn't tell if you were saying gay or Gage.
Wow. That's, you know, it reminds me of that. I sent you a link to another book that has been written on the history of the GLBT going back like 5,000 years, and which was, I found to be, I listened to a podcast that it was on another GLBT radio, community radio, up in Indiana. You know, which was great to find that, you know, because we really need to form a coalition for community stations with GLBT News. He has a book and he has a one-man show that he's put together based on that book. It's a 30-minute thing, but it's dealing with that of the history of GLBT folks throughout history. And some of the names that were mentioned, you know, sort of kind of, you know, take you back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he says that everything was verified. The publishers actually assigned like 5 different editors and stuff to verify all the information to make sure that everything was credible, because they had to do it by secondhand because most of the folks are dead.
Right.
And they had to research and make sure that whatever documents they had as references were really actual and true documents of the stories, because what they found was a lot of diaries and a lot of letters that were exchanged, and, you know, they got a lot of information that way. But it's interesting that she should have a book also on lesbian history, you know.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's just, wow. I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by it.
Well, and it's also important, I think, because oftentimes the women kind of have to seem to be taking a backseat in history, yet we seem to be the ones that are the backbone of the history making.
Right.
Whether it be the LGBT community,
right,
or the straight community or whatever, there's so, you'll find so much more information about the gay men and not as much
of the women,
of the gay women,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. Because I mean that's that's the same thing that the fellow said on that podcast. He found, you know, the men were more, but back then it was okay for men
to be gay.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times there wasn't this whole hip hop, you know. If you listen to the podcast, you know, he explains it a lot better. But it was just commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew that, you know, who was it? Gary, who's, give me the names, I always forget. There was a guy named Randolph Scott. He was an actor.
Mm-hmm.
He was that Western guy, I think.
He played a cowboy.
Gary.
Not Cooper.
No. He was the lover of another actor, and I can't remember, but it's all on there.
Oh.
It's all, and there was letters, you know, letters exchanged and stuff, and that's how they got all the information for that. But it's quite, it sounds like, you know, it's quite a story. But people, you know, don't, you know, mainstream, doesn't, they don't realize you know, that all these famous people and, you know, people that they see on TV or they hear about or they study or whatever it is, that they were GLBT.
Right. They probably had dual
and they don't
lives.
Date the association. So I always felt, well, we need to tell more of those stories and get all that information out there so that people will say, oh, really? Were they really? You know, and then think about it twice, because maybe they've learned something from them in their, you know, in their lifetime as far as studying or reference point or, you know, whatever, you know, and that they viewed them in a different light, you know, and now that they know the GLBT, how does that differ, that, you know, knowing who they are?
You know, once again, you know, with the, if you take the time to educate yourself, you can see that there's commonality in all of us.
Oh, yeah. And so you have anything else, Nancy?
Well, another work of Carolyn Gage's that I kind of had on the side, but she performs it every year at the Michigan Women's Music Festival.
Oh, Michigan. Okay.
Sermons from a Lesbian Tent Revival. Amazing.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Amazing.
Lesbians, a tent revival. Okay.
Yeah, it's not your grandma's tent revival at all.
I'm sure it's not.
But it is the best feminist book I have ever read.
Wow.
I am actually going to buy some extra copies to give to some of the women in my life to expand their horizons a little bit. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah. And there's life after politics.
And her first book was something about Joan of Arc, the second coming of Joan of Arc. Is that what you're...
Yes.
I'm sorry, did I say the title correct, Nancy?
Yeah, it's The Second Coming of Joan of Arc, and then it also contains some other plays. But The Second Coming of Joan of Arc is actually an underground classic that she just put back in print and that won the Lambda Literary Award. For two decades, it's a play about a cross-dressing, teenaged, runaway lesbian Joan of Arc who had been rousing women to resistance and inspiring them to walk out of patriarchal institutions and to fight for a feminist vision. It's really...
She sounds like my kind of superhero.
Oh, wow.
Well, Carolyn Gage sounds amazing.
Yeah, she really does.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
I'm
a completely different way of looking at Joan of Arc and how men throughout history, especially men in the church, have brutalized women and held them... Not just held them down, but actually take away their dignity, like you were speaking about earlier. The play was performed in South America to rave reviews. It was performed with leading actresses. It's a great moving play for any woman to read, not just for lesbian women, but for any woman to read.
Mm. Has it been performed here in the U.S.? Are you aware of that? Or
yes, it has been performed, and I'm surprised that it hasn't been performed on a larger scale, because it's that important of a work. But it's performed, you know, usually in colleges or small community theaters. I would love to see a national production of it.
Might be something for us to try to see make happen here in Atlanta. We are very fortunate in Atlanta that we have a very large and thriving scene for theater here, and there's, you know, both more large performance spaces as well as some of the smaller kind of offbeat spaces, but there could certainly be, I think, an opportunity to show this if we got it to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be very well received here. Don't you agree, Becky?
Oh, I totally agree with that.
Absolutely.
And I'd say amen to sermons from a lesbian tent revival, too.
Right on. Oh,
could
my
you
gosh.
Imagine that?
I would love to see that.
Yes.
I want to see them both.
We could have some fun with that.
Yeah. Where are these folks from? Is she from out west, the tent revival folk?
She actually lives in Maine.
Oh, in Maine, all the way up north in the cold. Oh, Lord.
Wow.
tent revival in Maine. All righty there.
Yeah, I'm making sure. I never even knew that the Michigan Women's Music Festival existed.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the oldest festivals, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. This summer, in August of 2010, it'll be the 35th year anniversary.
Wow.
Going, and I'm bringing my daughter.
All righty now.
Oh, I just realized how old I am.
Have you ever been to one, Becky?
I've never been to it, but I know about it.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot about it.
Me too. I've
heard a lot about it. Honestly mm-hmm. speaking, it's just mm-hmm. like, okay, I was a little timid about going. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to keep up with.
Yeah, those are some pretty intense feminist lesbians.
Yes, yes, sure. Yes. I mean, you know.
That's almost a rite of passage, though, you know,
yeah,
going to a women's yeah. music festival.
But you think at 62 it would be a rite of passage for me?
Yeah,
well, yeah. If it's going to be your first time, heck yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
you're never too old for that rite of passage.
No,
huh?
not at all.
We should all go and camp in the same area.
There you go.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should plan. When is it usually?
In August.
It's in August. Okay, well, it shouldn't be too hot up in Michigan in August.
You would hope not.
Yeah, but...
do they have an RV section?
They probably do. They do. I've seen pictures.
All right. Yeah. Well, that'd be more my style than laying on the ground.
On the ground,
yeah.
Right.
I tried that.
I did that one time when they had the festival here in Carrollton. And I keep forgetting it's the
Lilith Fair?
Who?
Lilith Fair?
No. It was a woman's
that was a woman's thing,
and they had come up from Florida. They are originally from Florida. And they did it in Carrollton, and I was in my volunteering days, and I mm-hmm. volunteered for security.
Oh, okay.
So you get to pitch a tent and all that.
Right.
I went out and bought me a tent, you know, and
yeah.
you know, the sleeping bag thing, and yeah, I pitched my tent, you know, and I had the midnight shift. So I was up and about from, you know, midnight to 8 in the morning,
yeah.
walking around where, you know, but the women were not sleeping, all of them. I mean, they were up and about and
uh-huh,
doing whatever
right.
they did, and the drum circle and all that kind of stuff. But it was an interesting weekend.
<I'm sure. laughs>
But I wasn't that far from home, so I was able to escape to come home.
Go to sleep at home.
For a few hours and then go back to my shift. You know, but that it was an interesting experience.
That's another one of those things that I chalk up to, you know, someone's going to take away my lesbian patches. You know, how you get like when a Girl Scout when you do the different things. Because I don't like camping. Never have.
Oh,
I was a Girl Scout. I never went camping with the Girl Scouts.
I did.
We did plants.
I didn't like it.
We did plan. We had plans, and we did. I don't know what we used to get those little badges on that strip of material,
yeah, exactly.
and that thing that you put across your chest,
your sash or whatever.
Your sash,
it was called.
Yeah. You did all these little things. I don't remember doing field trips though.
Nancy, welcome to the program. You see how we digress?
Thank you.
But you fed us so much stuff so we could talk, you know, and we just go off. We just go off into our tangents, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's I think it's wonderful though when we're able to do this kind of thing, because you know when we stick to you know definite kind of the reporting of the dismal political scene and it gets me angry and whatnot, you'll find that sometimes my voice goes up a notch or two because you know it's so annoying. I mean it's just so infuriating that these folks cannot make up their minds to do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
If they just ask themselves the question is, what is right? Their gut will tell them what is right. Because we all have that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We know what's right, and we know what's wrong. So if they just ask that question, they'll be able to decide, you know, what they have to do on all these issues. You know, and never mind the vote next November, okay? It's just, you know, just do what's right for the people, because that's your job. Simple as that. That is your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to digress.
From Girl Scouts to doing what's right.
Buy
some cookies, please.
Yeah. But that's what Girl Scouts brought to my mind. Doing it, you know, doing the right thing.
Sure.
That's what you're taught. You know, you do the right thing. You know, but it's like, gee. But anyway, what you have anything else? You have, anything that you want to add to the conversation?
Well, I introduced you to a new band out here in Sacramento.
Oh, yes, yes.
Cool Beans.
Yes, Cool Beans. And I have to apologize because I think I left it in the car.
Oh, that's okay. People can check out their music at cdbaby.com, but they're a great lesbian band out here, and they have some really great music. their music is a fusion of rock and jazz and blues and R&B.
Mm-hmm.
And it all makes a statement. It's very woman empowering, and
mm-hmm.
I love them.
Yeah.
And they're called Cool Beans.
Cool Beans. That's their name.
Rendezvous with yeah. Cool Beans.
Oh, yes, I thought that was so good. That's one of my favorite sayings is Cool Beans.
Oh.
And we're always sharing it when I and you know, sometimes I'll respond to
uh-huh.
something with Cool Beans. In other
uh-huh.
words, you know, whatever you said to me was great, you know.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I thought that was amazing. And yeah, I listened, and thank you, Nancy, for sending me the copy of that CD. I listened to it, and they have some good stuff on there. They have one of my favorites, and I know it's Nancy, one of Nancy's favorites is the one about it's called Politics.
Yep.
And it really catches your attention when the, you know, it's really cool. It's really
cool. And Nancy, you can find them at cbbaby.com.
CD.
Yep. CD.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
CDBaby.com. Mm-hmm.
And okay. Rendezvous with Cool Beans also has a MySpace page, too.
Okay.
Just put in their band name. Sometimes they go by RWCB because it's a long name.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So.
Cool Beans.
Cool Beans. Yes. Cool Beans. Okay. We're down to like 8 minutes of the program, and I'm sitting back and just thinking about all the good, wonderful things we're going to be able to do here in the new year. The last program of the year we're going to devote to doing a tribute to those that we have lost this year who are the activists in the community, because we've lost a few here in Atlanta. And we're checking to see if there's any in other places that were well known. We lost someone yesterday up in New York.
Really?
In the Hispanic community where he was very, very well known. This came from he was a champion for Latinos living with HIV and AIDS. And
oh,
his
is this
name
Dennis? Dennis
De Leon, a social justice activist, and the Latino community, the Latino Commission on AIDS is the where I got the statement from, because there were several, including one from the mayor of New York, who issued a press release on, you know, talking about Dennis. But this is from the Latino Commission on AIDS mourns the passing of its founder. Dennis De Leon, a tireless advocate for social justice and one of the first openly HIV-positive Latino leaders in the country. He was a pioneer and a visionary, and in his lifetime, he sought to curb and eliminate health disparities among marginalized communities. As a lawyer and later a nonprofit executive, De Leon believed in bridging cultural differences to effect progressive social change. If you go up on, I have this posted up on Facebook. You go up on facebook.com/GLBTQ, you'll find all of my posts up there that I either read here or it's news and stuff that one needs to know. And you'll find this along with a couple others posted up there. You just scroll down. You know, they're all posted. Scroll down and just find it. And just a quick word on the Block's December community meeting. They have taken on the new mayor. Okay, we have a new mayor. Now we need to make sure he delivers the change that he promised. Join Block's to create a public safety platform for Mayor Reed's first 100 days. This Thursday, December the 17th, community members and coalition partners will come together to decide what we want in our next chief of police and who should represent us on the police chief search committee. Okay, and that is December the 17th from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Fulton County Central Library, third floor meeting room, 1 Margaret Mitchell Square. Okay, and for more information, you can call 404-585-1384. Okay, and this comes out of the Eagle Raid and the conversations that have been going on continuously. So, you know, we'll see where we're going with that. And Governor Patterson from New York will be making an announcement tomorrow. They haven't said exactly what it is, but they believe it is to extend the rights to transgender individuals in New York. So that's going to be announced tomorrow, December the 16th, at the at one of the centers down there. It says transgender New Yorkers have been pushing for inclusion in the state's hate crimes laws following the shooting death of Latisha Green, a trans woman killed last year. Okay, so they're keeping it sort of kind of undercover for a moment, but look for that announcement. I'm sure it'll be on Facebook at some point. And an update on the murder in Puerto Rico of Jorge Stephen Lopez Mercado, a young man who was murdered back in November. The federal prosecutor in Puerto Rico told reporters earlier today her office could file hate crimes charges against the man who reportedly confessed to Jorge Stephen Lopez Mercado's brutal murder last month near Calle. So, you know, we're making progress in all different ways. You know, people are taking note, you know, the law. And it's that hate crimes bill that was passed here mm-hmm. in the United States. You know, Puerto Rico is a territory of the mm-hmm. United States, and that would be applied there if, in fact, they do the hate crime charge. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of minutes, and I want to say thank you, Nancy. Was there anything else that you wanted to say?
Well, just thank you to you.
Oh, no, thank you to you.
This opportunity. This is a wonderful thing, and I just encourage men and women to keep telling their stories and to keep bringing the humanity element to the community, because people need to realize that your stories are our stories too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy, and you'll be with us again next week.
Yes, I sure will.
All righty. Terrific. This is just wonderful. I am Zay Colbeans. I am just so happy. And again, Becky, thank you. Thank you for calling in. I know that you're still not feeling well, and I appreciate that you have taken the time to be on the phone with us and to add to the conversation. This is wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Betty.
Yeah. And Donna, needless to say, you know.
It's being always comparable, fun. Donna.
You are always good.
You are just great. You're wonderful. Thank you for being here. You
sure.
know, your participation.
Becky, I look forward to seeing you in the studio next week. Get better.
Okay. All right. I'll bring my headphones.
All righty. Okay. And with that said, I say to everyone, good night and buenas noches.